We're happy to welcome to the show an actor who is, he's more than an actor. He is an American icon from his work on the television series Leave It to Beaver. But he's had an interesting life story both before and after he was the Beaver. He'll be appearing in Maine over in South Paris at Hannibal Hamlin Day on August 27th. We had a chance to catch up earlier today with Jerry Mathers.
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you today?
I feel great. No problem.
Glad to hear. Well, thank you. I appreciate you making some time for us today.
No problem at all. Anytime you need me, I'm here for you.
Well, that's excellent. Well, you'll be coming to Maine. Very excited for this. August 27th for Hannibal Hamlin Day from 1 to 3 p.m. over in Paris, Maine. It'll be at 500 Paris Hill Road in South Paris and sponsored by the Friends of the First Baptist Church of Paris. You'll talk to folks. People get a chance to meet you, maybe get an autographed picture as well. Boy, you do an awful lot of these personal appearances.
You know, it's always fun. People, all over the country, they've watched me for a long time, and a lot of them don't think they'd ever get a chance to come up and say hello and ask that big question that they had. They saw something, or did that really happen to anybody? And it's just a really fun time, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
I want to talk, of course, about your longtime friend and collaborator, Tony Dow, who passed away recently. Certainly just for fans of the show, it made us very sad, but you were close to him for more than six decades. So what was Tony like?
You know, Tony was someone that I really looked up to. He was an AAU swimming and diving champ. So, I mean, when I was smaller, I didn't realize that everybody just couldn't jump up at a pool and do three or four flips and, you know, land and not get hurt. But he was just an excellent friend and somebody that I really am going to miss very much.
I want to talk about your background because most people may not know the backstory that you've been working for quite a while before Leave It to Beaver. You started out as a model, is that right?
Yes, my mom happened to be at a big department store here when I was about 2 years old, just turned two. And a lady came up to her and said, "Is that your little boy?" And my mom went, "Whatever he did, if he pulled something down or, you know, ripped it somehow, I'll pay for it." And they said, "No, but I've been noticing you've been trying clothes on and on him, and he fits our clothes perfectly. We're having a modeling thing tomorrow, and all he would have to do was be, you know, hold a woman's hand, and they'll walk him out in one of our outfits or three or four of our outfits." And my mom said, "Well, you know, this is a big city, and I don't know." And the lady said, "Well, you know, we'd pay him, and he could keep one of the outfits." My mom said he could do that.
Goodness. Well, that led to a number of movie roles. Do you have any memory of working with Bob Hope on The Seven Little Foys?
Oh, very definitely. That was, you know, a really fun one to do. I was not in the entire movie, but I was in a fire scene, and I was supposed to be up in the balcony, but backstage, and there was a fire happened in real life, and this was a recreation of it, except when we went to shoot it, the guy put a little bit too much juice into whatever they were burning, and there was going to be a stuntman that was going to be playing Bob Hope. He would run up the ladder, and then the stuntman in the same outfit would come over and get me, and the stuntman couldn't get through the flames, and the only person that really knew that, because he had to switch like a hat or something with the guy, was Bob Hope, and he actually did run not through the flames. He threw a blanket over himself and saved me, so otherwise I wouldn't be here today.
Wow, that's an incredible story. What was it like working with Alfred Hitchcock on The Trouble with Harry?
Well, you know, as an actor now, I would probably be, a little, whoa, it's Alfred Hitchcock. At that time, I was a small child, so, I was 6 years old, and I used to sit on his lap and run my lines, and I didn't realize that, you know, all the other actors and the adult actors were all very afraid of him. But he was just a very, very nice man. We weren't just at the studio. We went to Stowe, Vermont to shoot probably, I think it was like a week or maybe even 2 weeks of this. So it was something that was really fun. And when I was doing Leave It to Beaver, you know, years later, he was down the street, and it was just fun. I'd be in the commissary, and all of a sudden he'd walk over, and he was the first person to ever call me Mr. Mathers, and he'd come up to my the table, or I'd run over and say hello to him, and he'd go, oh, hello, Mr. Mathers.
We're talking with Jerry Mathers here on Downtown. Now, you had done some television. You did Ozzie and Harriet before the audition for Beaver, and that was quite a big audition with hundreds, if not thousands, of kids and spanning, what, several locations?
Well, yeah, not several locations so much, but they had different places on the studio lot because they just had so many kids. And they also interviewed kids in New York and Chicago, so they had a whole lot. They just really didn't know what they wanted, and when they finally decided it was me, it was a very, very fun shoot to do.
And you've told the story many times before, but one of the things they liked is the fact that you were much more interested in getting to your Cub Scout meeting.
Absolutely. The interview, just so you know, went on for probably three or four, I don't know, it was a long time ago, but a lot of weeks, and we kept going back, and each time there would be, you know, either new kids or some of the old kids, and so I was getting a little antsy. And when I went in for the final interview, there was only about six kids, and the man said, what's the matter, Jerry? And don't you want to be here? And I said, no, I have a Cub Scout meeting that I'm going to miss unless I leave right now. And he said, okay, you can leave. And my mom went, Jerry, why did everybody else stay in there? Because this is one of the final interviews. And all this, you just kept wondering. And I said, well, I just told them I had someplace to be, and they said, okay. And my mom went, we've been here for quite a few weeks. It's probably not the best thing to say. And I said, oh, well, you know. And they called that night and said they'd rather have a little boy that wanted to be a Cub Scout than go to an interview, and that's how I got the job.
Now, people may not remember the pilot to Leave It to Beaver was you, of course, and Barbara Billingsley, but different actors as both your brother and as Ward.
You know, very much so. That happens a lot on series. They do, you know, they interview a lot of people, but some of them just don't work out with the rest of the cast. And so, yes, Tony Dow, and they just weren't there. And there were other people that never made it. They were very nice people, but they, for some reason, the producer said, no, this one, Jerry and Barbara will be the people that we're going to keep, and we're going to do some more. And it was a huge interview. I mean, when I did the original interview, there was all sorts of kids on it. So it was a lot of fun, but a lot of work.
We've had a couple of folks who appeared on the series on our show through the years. Tim Matheson, who I think did one episode as a young guy, and Stephen Talbot.
Right. You know, a lot of people, if you watch the show, were just in there for one or two episodes, but they were on Leave It to Beaver. I was there, of course, for all of them. But, it was just a really fun set. They made sure that all the people that were the producers and, the different people, the cameramen and everything, all had kids so that they knew how to deal with kids. And it was just a fun time.
You've probably been asked this a million times. Are there favorite episodes for you, not to watch all these years later, but as the making of the episode, were there some that stood out for you?
Well, you know, the Super Bowl one where I got crawled up on a sign, one of those big signs at the side of the road. But, you know, every one was, if they had new people in it, I got to meet a lot of nice actors that I would have never met. And I see them on other things. They may have only been in one episode. But every day was just really fun to go into the studio. We did it for 6 years, and there's 234 episodes, so it was just a lot of fun.
A couple of my favorites. I loved the episode where you were a magician, and also I think I could identify with this one, the book report, when you decided rather than read The Three Musketeers, Beaver would just watch the movie.
Of course, the movie had to be even better than just, having to spend all that time reading a book. But, you know, those shows all came from, the two writers had, I think it was seven kids between them. So it was a lot of the things that their kids were doing at home, they would come in the next week, I'd be doing them on TV.
Now, after the show ended, you'd had a very successful run, but you decided you wanted to go back to a much more normal life, and you went to, I believe it was Notre Dame High School, were a good student and a good athlete there, and then on to Berkeley, where you majored in philosophy.
Very definitely. But, you know, when I was doing Leave It to Beaver, I had a private tutor, so I had an excellent education. And, I went there for all of elementary school, and just by chance, as I was finishing Leave It to Beaver, I went on to, out of elementary school and into high school, and I went to a regular high school as I was on the football team and the track team and had just a wonderful time. And, my life has been very, very blessed, and I'm very happy for it.
How is it possible, and what did you or your family do right, Jerry, to avoid some of the pitfalls that a lot of young actors went through?
Well, my dad probably had a lot to do with that. When I was doing, he retired as a superintendent of LA schools, but while I was doing Leave It to Beaver, he, was working with kids all the time. He was a teacher and then went on to be in, do other things with kids. So he was just somebody that knew what a kid should be doing in school and what they shouldn't, and what the proper things were to do. And he pretty much kept me on the straight and narrow my whole life.
Well, you had success in the business world, in real estate, and a number of other adventures as well. What was it that prompted you to be part of what was originally going to be a one-shot deal with the reunion show that then turned into several seasons of Still the Beaver or the new Leave It to Beaver?
What really pretty much locked it in for me when they said that they were going to try to get as many of the original cast and not just, just Wally and the Beaver and June and Ward, but as many of the people that they could find and also the crew. So it was really fun. It was like a reunion. Suddenly I went back, and there were all my friends, and we just had a great time, and we just continued it.
Are you at all surprised that the music career didn't take off after Beaver and the Trappers?
Well, when you say take off, it took off for me because I was playing at the time drums at all sorts of school events, like sock hops and things like that. So it wasn't ever meant to be something that I was going to do professionally, but it was a fun thing. I'd go around to all the different high schools, and to be honest with you, meet a lot of the pretty girls, and as the drummer on the thing, it was pretty easy to do, and then I'd go on to the next school every Friday night for the big sock op. So it was just a fun time, and I definitely wouldn't want to do it now, but at that time, I was living the life.
Now, you served in the military as well after college, and that sort of inadvertently led to one of the stranger stories in your history here, and that's the rumors. It's like you and Paul McCartney. The rumor is that you were dead, that somehow Jerry Mathers had been killed in Vietnam.
Absolutely. Now, I was in the service. I spent 6 years in the service. But I was never shipped out of the United States. I never went overseas. I was a general's aide and was in the Air Force. And so I did a lot of typing, but that was about the most dangerous thing I did was, break a nail on the typewriter.
Well, how did that rumor start that you had been killed?
I would imagine it was either, and I'm very sad to say this, either somebody that had the same name or a similar name. But there were a lot of people that, were against that war. And I think maybe somebody might have said, to make it sound worse, that somebody that, is famous had died in it as a young person. But I don't really know. All of a sudden, people started calling me up one morning at my mom's house. I was still living with my parents because I, was very, very, not very young, but I was in my late teens, and telling her how sorry they were that I had been killed. And my mom went, "What? Wait a minute." Ran back to the bedroom. I was still snoring there, I guess. And so somebody just put that out there. Maybe somebody with a similar name, or I don't know why, somebody put that up there and everybody believed it.
We're talking with Jerry Mathers on Downtown. You traveled the country with Tony Dow doing stage work, and you've done a lot of that through the years, including a run on Broadway in the production of Hairspray. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was, challenging, a little scary because I had done plays, but when you go to Broadway, that's, like the pinnacle. So it was something that I really had to study a little bit more for, and after a few nights, it was just as easy as doing a film show. But, it's always a little scary when you go out in front of a huge audience like that, but not only that, an audience that was full, because the whole time I was on Broadway in New York, I had standing room only, which at the time I didn't realize how hard it was. It just seemed to me the first night I walked out there, the place was full. so that must be what it was all the time. And after a while, people started telling me, that's incredible that we did standing room only for the entire run.
I follow you on social media, and it's always a delight when I get to see pictures of your mom, who what celebrated, I believe, her 95th birthday.
Yeah, she's a real trooper, as I said, and I owe my career to her, because she's the one that, you know, took me not only to Leave It to Beaver, but all the things I did before that. And she was just, you know, she's been a wonderful mother and somebody that I love, of course, very much. But definitely I wouldn't be the man I am today without her and my father. He was a vice principal and then retired as a superintendent at LA City Schools. But, you know, he ran a pretty strict ship. So, you know, they kept me on the straight and narrow. And it's something at the time, a lot of times I say, I want to go to this. They said, no, you're not going to this. You're going to do something else. And I'm certainly glad they did.
You've always been very accessible to the fans. You've got a great website at jerrymathers.com. People can order merchandise at jerrymathersbeavermerch.com. You're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well. Why do you feel it's important for you to stay in touch with the fans?
Well, you know, people are always asking, how can they get in touch with me? And, you know, it's something that makes it very, very easy for them. Most people in some way have a way that they can get onto the Internet. And it really is me on that. I'm the one that looks at it and decides, you know, if they when people write and ask me questions, and they're questions that only I know the right answers to. So it's just really fun, and it, for me, it's great to be able to interact with fans. I'm just so blessed to have a show that was started in 1957 that's still on the air. It plays all over the world in a whole lot of different languages, and I'm just very, very lucky to be able to be associated with that character of Beaver.
And, you know, there have certainly been a number of actors through the years who played an iconic role as a child, and then as they went on, try to distance themselves from that. But you've never done that. Why is that?
Well, you know, being the Beaver on TV, and it's such a successful show, but it's something that I'm very proud of. It's about an American boy growing up in the 50s and 60s, but pretty much he could be a boy growing up right now, and it's... you know, it went out all over the world. It just wasn't in the United States. It played in about, I think it was 20 different languages. So especially in the 50s, when there was a very different time, a lot of people in foreign countries, that was their first really look at an American family and how that we lived. So it was something that, you know, I got out fan mail from people that I couldn't even read. I'd have to take it to somebody that was from a different country, and they'd say, oh, they're saying how they enjoy the show because they dubbed it in different languages. So it was just really, you know, it's been a great experience. I'm just so happy that I went on an interview and got that job.
I caught an interview from a few years ago that you and Tony did, and you guys were saying that along with the writers having knowledge of kids from their own pack of children, that they would listen to you guys and listen to the way you talked. And if something didn't feel quite right or sound quite right to you, they would take that into consideration.
Oh, very definitely. I think Joe Conley and Bob Mosier were the writers. Conley, I believe, had like eight kids, so he had a lot of things that he could draw from just watching his own kids at home. So, you know, and everybody was very, very nice. They made sure that the entire crew, the cameramen, all the lighting guy, were all family people, so they knew how to get along with kids. I didn't realize that at the time, but they told me that, you know, years later. But it was just such a fun thing. All my friends were there as the crew members, and you know, we did all sorts of fun things between the when they were lighting it and things. And I had a wonderful time. It was a wonderful experience and something I'm very, very proud of. But I'm very glad I was able to do it.
And it's got to make you feel good as an actor to think that something you did all those years ago has continued to bring joy to people now for 65 years.
Well, you know, when we were doing it, we were just this little show about a boy growing up in America. We knew that we got fairly good ratings the entire time it was on, but I never thought it would be anything that would last this many years and people would still be watching it in black and white. And, you know, it was just so much fun working with all the people. And, you know, it's been a boom to my entire life. I meet people on the street and they come up, aren't you the Beaver? Yeah. And it's something I'm very proud of. So it's not like I, you know, ever shy away from it. It's a great show and it teaches life lessons that were happening, yes, in the 50s and 60s. But there's still life lessons that kids can learn today from the show.
Jerry, thank you so much. great to talk with you. I've enjoyed your work through the years, and especially love to see the way you've lived your life and have done things right. And I look forward to seeing you here in Maine. Thanks for making time for us.
My pleasure. Look forward to meeting you too. Bye-bye.